T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, bring in ESPN's NFL Miami Dolphins reporter Cameron Wolf, who joins us now. So, Cameron, your first regular season game covering the Miami Dolphins, you got to be part of history, my man. 7 hours, 8 minutes. I'm guessing for ESPN, you didn't have any deadlines you had to blow through for that, right?
Yeah, no. My newspaper days, I would have been sweating, but otherwise, yeah. It was just a long day.
Oh, man. So I want to start with a couple of things here injury-wise. Devontae Parker back in practice this week, but even without Devontae, the Dolphins don't have a problem at wide receiver. I really like what Albert Wilson is bringing to the table. Jakeem Grant is improving. Kenny Stills is already very solid. So assuming Devontae plays this week and Adam Gase says he expects him to, how do you see Parker fitting in and any sort of sense on what the snap count might be?
Yeah, I think you'll see Devontae probably coming in and rotating with Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, Danny Amendola, and seeing a split more between those guys. It may hurt, you know, Albert Wilson snaps and Jakeem Grant snaps a lot, but I don't think he'll take his full starter reps if he plays this week. You've got a guy who hasn't played in over a month. So you're going to want to get him, you know, back conditioning-wise. So I don't think you'll see, you know, 90, 100% of the reps. I think you may see, you know, somewhere around half of the game for Parker and taking some reps from those other guys I mentioned.
You know, when Kenny Stills first arrived in Miami a few years back, I kind of thought, you know, this is a speed guy. He's going to fill a very specific role. But is it fair to say, Cameron, that he looks like a pretty complete number one wide receiver at this point?
I wrote about this week. I talked to Adam Gase and I asked him that same question. You know, Kenny's a veteran, but it seems like he still has ascension. And he said, yeah, we're trying to create him to being a 7 to 8 reception guy a game instead of just being a 4, you know, reception deep ball player. He said he thinks he has that skill set. He's been one of, if not the best slot receiver in the NFL over the last 2 years, and people don't really know that. So now that Jarvis Landry is gone, there's a lot more targets, there's a lot more versatility in the offense that opens up for Kenny to truly be, you know, everything he can be and not just a deep ball threat.
Yeah, I thought the offensive line looked really good on Sunday. We're talking with Cameron Wolf from ESPN. How concerned should Dolph fans be that Josh Sitton, who sat out a couple of practices Wednesday and today, how concerned should they be that he won't play on Sunday? And if he doesn't play, how much does that hurt the line?
Yeah, definitely a little concerned. I mean, Josh Sitton was a great pickup for the Dolphins. He played well in week one. He's one of the guys Adam Gase has raved about as far as, you know, getting the continuity of that offensive line better. It's never a great sign when coaches are quiet about a midweek injury, and we really haven't heard much of anything about Josh Sitton's injury other than it's a shoulder injury. He hasn't practiced these 2 days. At this point, you're sort of under the inclination that he's not going to play, and you got to prep Ted Larson. And obviously that hurts you, particularly in the run game, an area where they had some strength in week one.
You know, Tannehill did some very good and some not so good this past Sunday. Like the 75-yard bomb to Kenny Stills was awesome. The interception to Malcolm Butler was kind of ugly. How did you grade out Tannehill's performance week one?
I think it was decent. I think considering that he hadn't played football in 637 days, you probably consider that performance a win, particularly because they won. I think they're going to want to see improvement. I think Tannehill admitted that this week. Gase did as well, particularly on that fade route that you mentioned. You've got to see a better ball from Tannehill. You've got to see more aggressiveness from Mike Gesicki. But he looked like the accurate quarterback that we've seen in the past. And, you know, 20 of 28 was a really good completion ratio. He looked like he had good rhythm with his receivers. And it looked like it kept the defense off guard because they didn't know what was coming. So if you get that sort of performance from Tannehill every week, it gives you a chance to win. And if you get better, then you're looking at a team that can be closer to what Gase thought they were going to be to start the season.
Was there anything in the Titans game and maybe this could be something that the coaching staff and players talked about this week, but anything stand out to you as kind of a negative? Like, man, this is really something this team needs to improve upon.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is that we saw some glimpses in the second half of their struggles tackling, particularly speedy backs like Deion Lewis. He broke off a really big run late, and that could have been something that really hurt them down the stretch. Their linebacker and D-line crew were something we talked a lot about as a weakness coming into it, and they actually played pretty stout in the first half. But we saw some holes in the second half, so I would be a little concerned and want to make sure they shore that up against Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell this week. And then on the offensive end, you've just got to figure out how to finish drives, that interception to Gesicki. You've got to be able to close opponents out. I feel like they had the Titans on the rope a few times, and obviously the delays affected momentum, but you've got to be able to put teams away like that, because not every team is going to, you know, give you the opportunity to come out with a win with the type of performance they put out Sunday.
You know, I try not to read too much into, you know, the Dolphins-Titans game, good and bad, the same way I try not to overreact to what I saw the Jets do to the Detroit Lions on Monday. I mean, that was an absolute massacre. But Sam Darnold, to me, after throwing that pick six, looked very good and very poised from that point forward. You think the Dolphins can and should get opportunities to really make him uncomfortable on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I actually think that, you know, they're going to be riding a little bit of a high because of how he played, and he played really well. But I do think Detroit had a lot of flaws in their scheme and a lot of their game. I do think the Dolphins will throw a little bit of, you know, a wrench into what he can do. I think you'll see more blitzes from the Dolphins. I think you'll see Cam Wake and Robert Quinn get a little bit more downhill on their pass rush and disrupt them a little more. And then ultimately, they're coming off a short week for your second opponent. You finally got film on Sam Darnold. I think you can have some success if you get a few turnovers against him. And he's a guy who's shown in college that he's willing to give you a few turnovers if you mix up the coverage.
Yeah, do you think the Browns and even the Giants are going to regret not drafting that guy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Browns got their own quarterback in Baker Mayfield, and they think he's going to be the guy. We haven't seen him yet, so we've got to give him every chance. But I think the Giants, even now, you know, I think that was an incorrect choice in April, and I think it is now. You've got to get your franchise quarterback when you got an opportunity. And I think he's a guy who's going to be a franchise quarterback at some point. I was talking to T.J. McDonald about it in the locker room. He's a USC guy just like Sam Darnold, and he said, hey, I thought this kid had it in college, and I'm even more convinced after week one. So those guys don't come around often. You don't have a lot of chances to pick in the top three. And I know Saquon Barkley is a great player, but he's a running back, and I think the Giants made a mistake, particularly them, not taking him at number two.
Give us your scouting report for the Dolphins offense going up against the Jets defense. You know, they looked very good against Detroit, but then we find out that the hand signals hadn't changed from last year, and they knew exactly what Stafford was calling. That sounds like an absolute nightmare. So again, I don't want to overreact to that performance, but I know a Todd Bowles team is always going to have an aggressive and well-coached defense. So how do you think the Dolphins match up with them?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Bowles' defense are always going to be really well prepared. Adam Gase said he wasn't worried about the sign signal thing. I think the biggest asset the Dolphins may be able to use is their versatility on offense. I think it's been the first time in a while we've seen them have a plethora of different weapons that can hurt you on any given game. You know, Jakeem Grant had the big special teams play. He's probably their fifth receiver when Devontae Parker comes back, and he's one of their weapons. So they've got five legitimate receivers that all have different skill sets that all can be interchanged and really catch the defense off guard. We saw Albert Wilson in the backfield last week. We saw Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake in the backfield at the same time. I think we'll see a continued situation where Adam Gase tries to mix it up and keep the linebackers, particularly with their feet stuck in concrete because they don't know exactly what's going on. I think that's a way to attack a team that looks fast and aggressive is to slow them down with misdirection.
I really appreciate the time here from Cameron Wolf, ESPN reporter covering the Dolphins and the National Football League. Follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf, an E there at the end of Wolf. Thank you so much, man, and we're very happy to have you on the beat down here. I love reading your work.
All right, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.